Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, it's another edition of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant. Hi there, Paul.
Hello, Mark.
Hey, interesting discussion this week, at least an interesting title to the series, The Empty Chair Syndrome, or it almost seems like a syndrome.
Yeah, it
like
almost
a,
does,
like
doesn't it? That may not
sometime.
Be the worst word.
Yeah, but what happens when someone in the relationship passes away or becomes incapacitated and all the issues surrounding how to deal with that?
Yeah, and this is not just an issue for married couples. This is an issue for those who are single as well and listening, because we leave people behind, or if we are having health issues, we need other people to step in and assist us. And the question really about the empty chair is, what roles do you personally fill? What roles do you fulfill in a marriage if you are married? Do you do the finances? Do you manage the household? Do you all have shared duties? Do you manage the vehicles? Do we know where paperwork is because you're the organizer? What I have found in doing estate planning is that it is a very high number of people that fit into specific roles. And it is typical that one person does a majority of the financial planning, bill paying, knows where the assets are, and the other spouse is at a disadvantage with having that knowledge and ability at their fingertips. So what would it mean if the one who does all the financial management of the household, what happens if they were to become incapacitated or die? And then typically, if they're doing that role, then there's another function of managing household. I've had clients go, I don't even know how to start the washing machine to wash my own clothes. I don't know where to find a pot and a pan. And those are some extreme issues. And you may go, well, I'm not that helpless, even if I'm married. Fine, but it is still not what you do on a regular basis. And so there is a gap in how someone may carry on. And again, don't be fooled, singles, because if you were to become incapacitated, have a health issue, and or die, how do we pass off, and where is the information? Are we organized so that the next person who needs to help you during your lifetime or close the estate, is everything organized and is it ready to be handed off? And unfortunately, most people have not done proper estate planning and wouldn't know the first place to turn. Mm. And I mentioned in our previous show that of dealing with this, that if someone were a part of my process, we have an ongoing relationship with clients so that I am able, as the estate planning attorney, to lay down at least all of the assets and show someone where the assets are, so that if someone needs help during their lifetime or if somebody dies, there's less of a struggle. We're better set up. And so is your estate ready? Are you ready that if you had a health incident, we know who's going to help you, where the finances are? Are they properly suited? Are they properly educated to manage that? And then same thing if you die. Do you have the proper people? Do they know what's going on? And the list goes on and on. So there's the concept of the empty chair, which is you have skill sets, relationships, and other things that are going on in your life that if it's gone, what is left behind, and is it going to be a smooth transition?
Okay, well then, looking again at some of the financial issues to be sure you've got nailed down, go over this again.
Sure.
Paying bill. Well, we talked about online access and how everything is connected to the internet now.
It is.
All these passwords. And I mean, that's, again, hard to deal with when you both are alive, but one of them's gone and they knew where all the passwords were. What do you advise in this area?
Yeah, and there's a little bit of a difficulty here because federal law and Washington state law, believe it or not, you may believe it, but it's actually a felony to use someone else's online access without their permission. So a lot of estate planning documents don't even address this online issue and they don't even give proper permissions. Now, number one, if you haven't done your estate planning in a while, so if you haven't had things updated, if you haven't had your plan reviewed, so let's say you did estate planning 10 years ago. Well, let's talk about in the past 10 years, has online access exploded? Mm. Oh, absolutely. So we in the past 10 years, if your estate plan doesn't address this issue, which I guarantee you all, 10 years ago, mine didn't even address this issue, then you're sitting on an old document and it's not able to then face the challenges of today. So people say, well, how often should I update things? My response is minimally every 3 years. And out in the public, that is a shocking number. Mm. That's a very shocking number. But in my relationship process, we deal with this on a triannual basis. So every 3 years, we are updating everyone's planning in totality. And is your estate planner doing that? Mm. Chances are no, and unfortunately no. And here's one of the missing components, which is if your estate plan is not giving the legal authority to access your online accounts and someone grabs your password list, which is dangerous in and of itself, right. And they start using it, they may be unknowingly breaking the law. And you're going, well, that's just ridiculous. I don't disagree to on some level, but—
Even if you're the spouse.
Even if you're the spouse, because if you— there are no joint online user rights. They're all individual user rights, actually. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So if you use the same email, one of you opened that up and, okay, well, Gmail's not going to come after you for using the same email. But the point still needs to be made, which is online is very tricky. And your estate planning documents need to have language that allow that continuous online accessibility given to your power of attorney, your successor trustee, or after death to your personal representative. And I'm just saying that if you have an older plan, it's not there.
Yeah.
It's just simply not there. Yeah. So getting proper legal permissions will protect the people who are trying to step in and protect you when you have a health issue or when you pass away to clean up your estate. So those permissions need to be done. They need to be done well. They need to be done right. And so that way, that is a legal issue and it is does need to be incorporated into the documents. Okay. And so that's kind of wrapping up the financial stuff. Of course, you can go to legacyandfaith.com to find last week's podcast where we talked a lot more about the financial aspects of this empty chair issue.
Okay. Well, some of the other issues brought up by the empty chair you mentioned here, again, I wouldn't thought this would be part of an estate plan, but you say it is, at least if it needs to be a question that's asked. Cooking and basic meal prep, washing clothes, basic housekeeping, relationships, maybe at church, outgoing social media, church issues, loss of issues there.
Yeah. Again, where this comes to why it's on my desk or at the forefront of my thought process is because when I am talking to surviving spouses, this all of a sudden became an issue.
Yeah.
So if someone is not used to a joined kitchen experience that they've never done the cooking and they've leaned into this one spouse over another, then this becomes a very difficult gap. And and if you don't have adult children who can step in and really assist, if the finances are not really robust and all of a sudden we've got one person eating out more, there's a financial problem there. Yeah. Even just simply cleaning the home and finding the products. If you've never cleaned the home, how do I find? I mean, almost anyone can vacuum. I can figure out a vacuum, but what does it mean to clean properly so that your environment remains at a healthy level? And as people age, in some, different people, different things. We all have different levels of cleanliness. If you ever walk into my home, it's like pristine. My wife must have her environment at the highest level known. And then I've walked into, unfortunately, hoarding homes. Mm-hmm. And it's a very, very different viewpoint of what it means to have your environment. So if you are a hoarder, and if you do not throw anything out, if you do not clean well for yourself at the beginning, but then you have a health incident, this becomes a big issue because we can't bring in people to care for your health if it's not a safe environment. Hmm. I have had this happen multiple times.
Really?
To where we need to bring someone in, we need people to come in, nurses or other individuals, and they actually are not allowed to because there's no safe way to care for the person because there's so much stuff in the home. So if you think that this is just a who's going to clean the shower issue, that's not it.
Okay.
I mean, we don't want mold there either, but there's so much more. So as we view people, and again, this is the gap of who is your healthcare representative? Who's your financial power of attorney agent? Have you invited them in? Have you discussed with them a plan of attack that if I have a health incident, what needs to happen? Do they and are they a strong enough personality to say, look, this would not be an acceptable environment to care for you in. And so let's start dealing with it right now. So let's deal with it before there's the empty chair. Let's deal with it before the issue arises. So yes, there are certain standards for healthcare providers to come into the home that the home needs to meet them in order to create a safe environment or to move you or to have the ability to put you into a wheelchair and get you to a bathroom. Is the bathroom even usable? All of these issues I have had to deal with as an estate planner. And yes, they are very real, relevant issues to talk about sooner than later.
But these considerations can be part of the estate plan.
So number one, how the estate plan works is that I'm going to name a healthcare agent, okay. So a healthcare representative. And now the encouragement is, does this person know about your health conditions? Mm. Does this individual know where to find the documents? Does this person know how you want to be cared for? Do they have the right information so that if they needed to step into caring for you, what information have you told them? Or is this a complete absolute surprise? Mm. So is it estate planning? Absolutely. Mm. Is it the position or my position to get you into a powwow and have the conversation and meet you at your home and walk through your home? Absolutely not. Not going to do it.
Okay.
But there are other services. And yes, I create an environment and other opportunities for you to speak to these issues so that the person that you've named is more than ready and more than able and ready educationally wise and prepared with information to take over the role should you need it.
Okay, preparing for the empty chair in your estate plan, discussing that this week. You like Paul's approach to this subject? You want to find out more about his services? How do people get in touch with you, Paul?
Head over to our website, legacyandfaith.com. There's past podcasts, upcoming educational opportunities, ways to communicate with us, and it's all found at legacyandfaith.com.
Back with more of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant in just a moment.
Hi, this is Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith Show. Did you know that more than 75% of people that are 65 and older will at some point in their lifetime need some type of assistance due to a health incident? I want you to join me on Saturday, September 28th at 5 p.m. for a discussion about how to make sure that you are financially, legally, and practically ready to meet those challenges. The National Alzheimer's Association, in-care home specialists, financial experts, and myself will be discussing how to properly prepare you and your finances. This event is designed to provide the clarity and guidance you need for the peace of mind you desire. So join me on Saturday, September 28th at 5 p.m. at the South Bellevue Community Center for this critical discussion. You can find out more about this free event and how to register at legacyandfaith.com.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. and continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, Legacy and Faith Show this week, dealing with the empty chair in estate planning, and you wanted to talk a little bit about how to prepare your successor trustee for this role.
Yeah,
and
there's
this issue coming up.
Yeah, I've mentioned the word education. Are they properly educated multiple times in today's discussion? And let me tell you something that I think is completely unique in the industry, which is on an annual basis, my firm actually gives educational opportunities to healthcare representatives. So in other words, your family members, oftentimes adult children or siblings or whoever is going to be named as the person who is going to need to make your medical decisions on your behalf should you not be able to. And also we train successor trustees or personal representatives on what to expect through if there's going to be a probate process, how to close a trust should you die. So I think we're very unique in that on an annual basis, we have some sort of an educational opportunity. And that is actually coming up very soon for our firm. And again, if you head over to our website, legacyandfaith.com, that information, I'm hoping, is going to be posted by the time anyone clicks over there for this. But okay. But it is actually going to be these are public events to where I invite you to come whether you're a client or not, because I want the information given out. I want to help people with this educational opportunity. So head over to our website, legacyandfaith.com, and there are upcoming educational opportunities. This is going to be one of them, to where it is a discussion about what happens should you become incapacitated or have a health incident. It's a very, very important conversation because it's very different than if someone just passes away. So how do we help someone? There's no cost to this. And again, it's open to the public, whether you're a client or not. Would love to host you for an evening discussion of what happens if you experience a health issue and someone else needs to start making financial and health decisions on your behalf. So head over to legacyandfaith.com. There's more information on that upcoming educational opportunity.
Okay, a few more things to consider for the empty chair. You talk about church relationships.
Yeah, relationships in general.
Just all these relationships.
Yeah. So think through your different relationships. Again, whether you're married or whether you're single, you have relationships. You have best friends. I'm hoping you have best friends. And if you're married, there is an intimacy. And I'm just not talking physical intimacy. I'm talking emotional and mental intimacy, spiritual intimacy. All of these things are gone. And if you become dependent on the other person solely because you had a health issue, or whether you're now passed away. And so imagine in most relationships, it's unusual if both of them are very, very outgoing, but it could happen. But usually there is one person who kind of heads up the outgoing factor, the relationships, and brings people over, is the one who forges the relationships. And so what happens if all of a sudden that's gone? I have a family member that we've lost, and now the surviving spouse was not the outgoing one. Mm. So this person spends a lot of time at home. Mm. And what does that mean then for us to be cognizant and aware of that person's social needs? And so they still have a strong church life, but not much of a personal social life. So therefore, what does that look like? Now, this really is not in an estate planning document of what happens hereafter, right, but these are the things that we need to start thinking about. The loss of intimacy is about conversation, is about the ability to share what we're struggling with. Who does that turn to? I think that so I'm very blessed. I have a very strong relationship with both of my daughters. And so neither of them are married. So we talk often, and they share their heart with their dad. Again, just it thrills my heart that in their 20s, they find me to be a trusted relationship in their life still. Well, what if I were to unexpectedly die? What would that mean to my girls? What would that mean to them? So am I setting up relationships with my wife, with my kids, at my firm life? And so I run a business. And what would it mean? Is my business ready? Are my employees ready that if something were to ever happen to me, I'm about ready to get on a plane and head out to Indonesia here next week. And so what if that plane went down? It's not. I'm going to pray over it. We're going to be great. So how many different ripple effects would at for me, would that cause, and in how many different relationships? So not everything is about the estate planning document itself, because I can't put in there, who's supposed to caretake and watch over somebody after we're gone. But we can as a family. We can discuss it as a family. We can discuss it as a married couple. We can discuss it as a church group. So are we having those conversations inside the church, actually? Are we talking about this as a body of Christ? Because the Word of God says to rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. Are we taking that seriously? And here in the Pacific Northwest, one of my bigger concerns is that we live in a very separated or individualistic society. Many of us don't know our neighbors. And I'm concerned that that mentality has crept into the church. So do we have strong community even inside the church to where is the church thinking about how do I support those who are hurting and who might be missing? And is it just the first week that we make meal prep, or are we designed and ready to bring them into new groups and ensure that they are spiritually watched after, relationally watched after, emotionally and mentally watched over? And I do believe that this is a part of the church's responsibility, because it is clear that we are to be watching after those around us. How much more are we supposed to take to caretake over the body of Christ and fellow believers is what the Word of God says. So are we taking that in the Pacific Northwest, where we have a very individualistic mentality, specifically if you've grown up here, versus what we are supposed to be doing as the body of Christ? So I'm going to use this as an opportunity to kind of call on the body of Christ through this radio show to say, are we prepared? Is your church set up? And if not, then take responsibility. If you're hearing my voice and your church is not designed like that, then great. Maybe this radio show has been specifically designed for you today, so that if something pings you, if Holy Spirit is pinging you to take responsibility for this and step in and fill in that gap, then it really is necessary to talk about this issue. So this is called the Legacy and Faith Show. So we're going to talk about the faith aspect a little bit. And here it is, which is not the legal issue. This is a faith issue that we step in and fill in the gap and make sure that our brothers and sisters are well taken care of when they are hurting, as well as the times when they are rejoicing. So there you go. There's the faith attribute of today's program, which is, can we step in and really fill in the gap and help each other as a body of Christ when we need it?
Yeah, that empty chair in closing, I don't know if you can address this, but you're leaving behind a spouse that's already incapacitated. It's sort of like an empty chair and a half.
It's really tough.
Actually, almost two empty chairs, but not quite.
So. Yeah, as a matter of fact, unfortunately, some statistics will show that the healthy spouse, because they have to take on all the responsibility of the household. This is what I'm talking about, is that in the empty chair, it falls now to one spouse typically, because we haven't had the conversation. We don't have proper estate planning. We haven't developed the other resources. Now, not only are they taking on every single role, or roles are getting left undone, which causes stress, but now they're caretaking for somebody. And this creates a very difficult scenario. And unfortunately, sometimes that means that the healthy spouse now is the one who is worn down immediately and actually has passed away. So when this is a part of the challenge, do you have a relationship with your estate planner so that your estate plan can be then fine-tuned? Because if I have an incapacitated spouse, that means I need to make sure that the one who is going to be taking care of them, that their backup people may need to be looked at. Because usually we leave spouses in charge of each other.
Right,
well,
right.
That can't happen.
Right.
So did we redesign? Have we had the tough conversations of what happens if you need – are you getting enough help? So actually that does come to my desk quite often, that one spouse is having a health issue and ensuring that the plan is ready to meet that challenge so that if the other spouse passes away, that things are set up. What if you don't have a lot of resources? What if you have a house but don't have much financial support? Well, there's things that we could do to make sure that the compromised spouse who is now left behind is financially protected. There's things that we can shift. There's things that we can do to help prepare for Medicaid more properly and in advance instead of being a reactionary issue that you died and we don't have the plan set up. Mm. So estate planning is crucial in these times to ensure that it is properly prepared and properly fine-tuned to meet the current circumstance that is before us. So all of this is necessary.
Preparing for the empty chair in estate planning, and you like how Paul thinks about this subject, very thorough and detailed. You want to find out more about his services. How do people get in touch with you, Paul?
Head over to our website, legacyandfaith.com. You can find past podcasts, upcoming educational opportunities. They're open to the public as well, and ways to communicate with us, and it's all found at legacyandfaith.com.
It's the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.